From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The UK-based data gathering and political consulting firm Cambridge Analytica has been facing renewed scrutiny about its roles in two major game-changing elections on both sides of the Atlantic in the wake of a recent investigative news report. The company boasted about creating so-called psychographic profiles of voters in order to change their behavior and voting patterns about a year ago, but it wasn't until recently that its impact was taken seriously. Now the US-based organization Common Cause has filed complaints about the role of Cambridge Analytica in the US 2016 election to the Department of Justice and the Federal Election Commission on the basis of possible election law violations. Joining me to explain this is Stephen Spaulding. He's the Chief of Strategy and External Affairs for Common Cause, and he's been a frequent guest on our program. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
Thanks, Sonali. Happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, let's go through some of the details because it's so complicated for people who might be following what it was that Cambridge Analytica did, whether it was for the Brexit election referendum or for the US election. How do you explain to a layperson what it was exactly that Cambridge Analytica says it did and what we now know through investigative reporting it actually did?
Well, as we understand it, I mean, Cambridge Analytica presents itself as a vendor that can help political campaigns really do some psychological profiles on people, not just Americans, but voters in elections, you know, worldwide. So as you mentioned, they did work on the Brexit campaign, but they also did work on a number of political campaigns in the United States, including Donald Trump's campaign, including Ted Cruz's campaign, Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina, even John Bolton, who is now up as national security advisor, his super PAC used Cambridge Analytica. And what Cambridge Analytica claimed was that they had discovered some sort of secret sauce that they could analyze, particularly from people's Facebook profiles and the data that is in Facebook. They could put that information together to create profiles of people and really micro-target communications and, frankly, and political advertising to really tailor it to very specific subsets of the population to get people right to vote in the favor of their clients. So figure out what is it that moves different people to vote for Brexit. How can they convince people who might not be predisposed to vote for Donald Trump to vote for him? What kind of information can they find from the news sources they follow on Facebook, to the brands that they like and share, to the articles that they read? All of that information was compiled by data scientists at Cambridge Analytica, and they claim that that information could really target voters and move the needle, again, in favor of their political clients. We also know that there was a massive data breach, and they actually had access to tens of millions of Facebook profiles that they could use to really build up their information sources. And as they said, inject that into the bloodstream. Now, it's interesting because Britain's Channel 4 did an undercover investigation where they caught a number of Cambridge Analytica executives on camera talking about how they put things, quote, in the bloodstream over the internet, really divisive commentary in the 2016 election about the Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton and in favor of Donald Trump to really sway things based on this data.
And when you say divisive commentary, another word for that that might even be more accurate is fake news, right?
That's right. I mean, they were in the business of trafficking in the kind of fake news, social media, memes that kind of could go viral. But again, what they thought that they had cooked up was this really scientific, as they would say, psychological profile of people and figure out how to push their buttons. Mm-hmm. We know that they have ties to the Mercers, Rebecca Mercer, wealthy Republican backers. They are very close to Steve Bannon, or they were close to Steve Bannon, and actually gave Cambridge Analytica quite a bit of money, upwards of $15 million, to get the operation up and going. back in, you know, earlier this decade.
Now, you mentioned the term secret sauce, and this was essentially a term that the company itself used. And there was an article in the New York Times last year, March 6th, 2017, headlined "Data Firm Says, Quote Unquote, Secret Sauce Aided Trump." Many scoff. So it was already out there on our radio station, KPFK. We had featured a documentary called Trumping Democracy, which went into great depth, detail about Cambridge Analytica's role and the Mercer's role in helping Trump win just enough of the right voters in the right states in 2016 to turn the election and win him enough electoral college votes. And so some of this was already known, wasn't it? And then along came this whistleblower named Christopher Wiley, who has testified to lawmakers and who was, I understand, his testimony was the basis of the latest investigative reporting. What did he reveal that we didn't know before?
Well, that there were a number of, again, let me back up on this secret sauce allegation. Again, yeah. I think it still remains to be seen, right? So political campaigns always have a number of factors, and whether one factor or another ultimately gets a winner across the finish line varies and depends on a number of things. But again, you know, they're claiming that they're able to really micro-target certain voters and with precision move the needle. Christopher Wiley, one of the employees here, acknowledged how it was using Facebook data to, you know, how it frankly misappropriated Facebook data to build up its database, but that it also had a number of foreign nationals engaged in decision making, helping campaigns and political committees decide how to make decisions in their elections, which is the basis of Common Cause's complaint. Federal election law is very clear that foreign nationals may not participate in our elections either by making political contributions in the form of things of value and money, but also cannot participate in decisions, strategic decisions about how campaigns are run here in the United States. And what we've now learned is that a number of, I mean, this was really their business model. They themselves were warned by their own attorney that there would be serious legal, they would be in legal jeopardy depending on their activities if they were to participate in the kind of decisions that we think there's reason to believe they participated in. And that's why we're asking the Federal Election Commission and the Department of Justice to launch an investigation and determine if those laws prohibiting foreign interference in our elections were breached.
And so then your complaints are specifically based on the fact that Cambridge Analytica playing a role in the U.S. election because there were foreign nationals involved might have violated election laws.
That's exactly right. Again, because the law says that foreign nationals cannot participate in the decision making. It's a Federal Election Commission Regulation 110.20 parentheses I, which is clear that foreign nationals cannot participate in the kind of strategic decision making that the reporting has shown has indicated these Cambridge Analytica executives participated in and their employees. They've also gone so far as some of the reporting has shown that they actually had employees embedded in campaigns here in the States, particularly in a tight Senate race in North Carolina, all of which I think raises concerns and questions about whether it violated American federal campaign finance law and whether the agency that's responsible for enforcing it will do its job and investigate and hold anyone accountable.
Now, why specifically go after just Cambridge Analytica? Why not also Facebook? If that was where the data originated from, I mean, some might imagine that Facebook is sort of an unwitting, you know, victim of this data breach, but its business model is based on the personal data of its many millions of users, hundreds of millions of users, right?
Yeah, that is true. And we also made clear in our Department of Justice complaint that anyone that would have aided and abetted Cambridge Analytica in its operations should be held accountable. That is exactly why we would want an investigation to really have the power of subpoenas and have the power of putting folks under oath and doing some forensic accounting to really get to the bottom of, you know, what the actual breaches were. I know that Facebook has said that these that the breach violated their own terms of service. Whether it also violated American law is certainly something that the Department of Justice should investigate. We think here, given our expertise on campaign finance law in particular, Common Cause filed the complaint against Cambridge Analytica because we think there are clear violations of federal campaign finance law prohibiting foreign nationals from participating in these sort of strategic decisions or spending money in our elections. But whether the Facebook data breach was itself also broke the law, I think is something that hope the Department of Justice should be paying attention to and should be investigating. Right. And again, our complaint did leave a space for that to take place.
Right. I mean, we could spend an entire hour talking about Facebook, what's been going on with it, and how consumers and Facebook users themselves have been reacting. Now, you mentioned earlier John Bolton's super PAC. John Bolton is a newly named national security advisor to the president. His name has been implicated in this Cambridge Analytica story. Your complaint names him as well. How specifically was his super PAC involved?
Well, his super PAC disclosed giving his PACs, I believe he has another PAC and a super PAC, but John Bolton's political committees disclosed giving Cambridge Analytica more than $1 million. So to help however it was doing its operations. So as the super PAC, it was doing its own expenditures in a variety of races. It was a pretty big super PAC that collected a few million dollars, but it's given over $1 million to Cambridge Analytica to help it do its advertising and its expenditures and to advise it on
presumably how to spend in its the money. Surface service of John Bolton's political leanings, which would be the Republican Party.
Right. That's exactly right.
I see. So you've also named some specific individuals in the complaints. Alexander Nix, the head of Cambridge Analytica. Who else do you name as individuals in the complaint to the FEC and the DOJ?
Well, we name also Mr. Wiley, and I don't have the names right in front of me right now.
So but the whistleblower himself, Christopher Wiley?
That's right, who is himself a foreign national. Given what's been now on the record and what the reporting has shown, these executives and employees of Cambridge Analytica, including those that were on the Channel 4 investigation, just all we think provide plenty of reason to believe, which is what the standard is, the legal standard, at least at the FEC, reason to believe that a violation may have occurred and warrants investigation. You know, normally at the FEC, the kind of cases that they are investigating have to do with exchanges of money, volunteers on campaigns, actual donors from abroad that are making, you know, writing checks to candidates. That tends to be where the FEC has focused its attention and frankly where the issues have been. But this opens up a whole other, you know, avenue where the law is pretty clear that there's a whole other area of where there's a strong prohibition on foreign interference in our elections and foreign participation in our elections. And this is one of them that is a pretty, in our view, pretty clear violation that warrants action.
So these companies, the Cambridge Analytica, and I believe it's subsidiary SCL Group, both of them have been named, right? How does SCL Group figure into it?
Well, Cambridge Analytica is essentially the shell organization, and then the CL Group is it's also a foreign entity based in London that carries out a lot of the work. And companies usually do these kind of structures so that they can enjoy the benefits that come with limited liability, and as ways to there's financial benefits to setting up shell organizations. But in this case, we decided to hold both. Name both of them as respondents in our complaints because both of them we think are culpable.
They're so open about what they do. If you go to the SCL Group's website, they boast about the services that they offer. SCL Group provides data, analytics, and strategy to governments and military organizations worldwide. For over 25 years, we have conducted behavioral change programs in over 60 countries and have been formally recognized for our work in defense and social change. behavioral change programs. That sounds Orwellian. And so they're quite proud. Even Alexander Nix, who heads Cambridge Analytica, is pictured with PowerPoint presentations talking about the psychographic profiles that they're able to create. They don't even try to hide this. Because, of course, they're in the business of marketing their services worldwide, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, some of these words I had never heard before. I mean, psychographic, I mean, it sounds very, it sounds in on one hand, stir and psyops, and it sounds very scientific and like something out of, you know, a movie based 100 years from now. But, you know, again, there have been, you know, we've continued to be surprised by a number of elections. I mean, Brexit, certainly it was always predicted to be close, but number of these elections recently, particularly in 2016 and 2015, you know, were decided by very, very thin margins, where little twists and turns in the narrative, ways that voters were contacted, all could make a difference just to get people to 50+1 over the finish line to win an election. And when elections are that close, you know, everything really counts and matters and becomes even more magnifying than it otherwise would in sort of a wave election. Just the amount, I mean, marketers have figured this out. So when we're being sold soap or food products or restaurants or anything online, clothes, I mean, they, as you mentioned with Facebook, I mean, that is such a rich data source for people that are trying to sell things, whether it's selling materials and goods or selling candidates. Our behavior online, kind of what we follow, what we read, all of that helps to build profiles that people have figured out ways to use that to move people to vote for candidates and buy certain products. On the one hand, it's the tale as old as time. You may have originally marketers, you know, even 50 years ago would market certain products in certain ways in certain zip codes. And now there's just so much more information available about all of us online in particular, that they're able to harness that information and slice and dice it and sell it in all kinds of creative ways to move the needle.
So essentially, if we can picture the impact that Cambridge Analytica had in November 2016, there might have been, say, a voter in Pennsylvania who didn't really like Hillary Clinton, but may not be, you know, feeling a full-throated support of Donald Trump, but whose psychographic profile was obtained by Cambridge Analytica, a company that realized that this person responded to certain political stories or cues, and was bombarded by these so-called dark ads through Facebook. So not only was data obtained via Facebook, but Facebook also became a conveyor belt for the fake news that might have then pushed that particular voter just over the edge into thinking that Donald Trump was a better choice. You do that to enough voters in just the right states, and you have a candidate that wins the Electoral College while losing the popular election. I mean, is that somewhat accurate?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. That seems to be, I mean, again, whether who can claim total credit here, there's a number of different factors, but certainly campaigns are not spending millions of dollars on these sort of vendors just because they have cash to burn. They believe that there is value.
In fact, in your complaints, you spell out some figures, some financial figures. Is that is that critical for us to understand that these Cambridge Analytica and SEL Group received very specific amounts of money, and therefore you have to identify that as part of your complaint?
Yeah, it's important to show, I mean, again, the connections that they had with these campaigns, and to show that they were in many respects on the campaign's payroll.
Right.
At least as vendors. And so they were in constant contact with these campaigns to the tune of, you know, millions of dollars in the case of Trump, and more than $1 million in the case of the Bolton super PAC. So just goes to show you that those ties were quite close. And it is very unusual to have campaigns, you know, syncing up with overseas vendors that are staffed by foreign nationals to make these sort of decisions when the law is pretty clear that is kind of no-go in terms of our federal regulations and the Federal Election Campaign Act.
And then the ties between the company and the Trump administration also go quite deep, right? Although Steve Bannon is no longer in the White House, he was in the White House for many months in the first part of the Trump administration's year in office. And he was, according to the New York Times, served until last summer as vice president of the board of Cambridge Analytica. So his company participated in essentially helping elect his president that he ended up working for. Is there anything that sort of represents a conflict of interest there?
Well, I think what it goes to show is, again, just how close the ties were between senior Trump administration officials, senior Trump campaign officials, major Republican donors, and Trump himself. I mean, they were all in close contact with each other. They were all, I think that just goes further to show the sort of strategic advice that Cambridge Analytica was providing, even though it was compensated for some of that advice, that it was still a very close working relationship between agents of the Trump campaign and the administration and Cambridge Analytica.
Now, it's one thing to determine that, yes, voters were contacted, likely swayed, and another thing to assert that that influence, that work that Cambridge Analytica did, actually turned the election from Hillary Clinton's favor to Trump's favor. Does it matter whether or not Cambridge Analytica was responsible for Trump winning the election? Or is that just not even necessarily a relevant question?
In terms of the allegations that we allege in the complaint about foreign interference in our elections and decision-making, no, does not matter whether their candidate won or lost. The inquiry is whether foreign nationals had any role to play in strategic decisions and advice that they may have provided Trump or Tom Tillis or John Bolton or Ted Cruz. It does not matter whether they won or lost. In fact, that's why, I mean, that's not why, but, you know, we named candidates like Ted. We showed the connections that they had with candidates that also lost.
I see.
And again, just show more reason to believe that a violation may have occurred. So it does not matter whether they were ultimately successful, although they were with the president. It just matters like what decisions and how those decisions were made.
Right. Some have said that Cambridge Analytica's role is not relevant because mainstream media, specifically television news, played a much bigger role in amplifying Trump over, say, Bernie Sanders, and really helped him win the election much more than Cambridge Analytica. And what you're saying is that whatever media might have done in the sort of traditional way in which elections are covered, even if it wasn't ethical, was certainly probably legal compared to what Cambridge Analytica and its foreign staff did.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Again, that's right.
Yeah. So now there is, of course, an ongoing, very important investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. And the last several times we've had you on our program, it's been to talk about that investigation into Russian interference in the November 2016 election, although the scope of that investigation appears to keep expanding because as Mueller finds potential wrongdoing, he goes after it. Do you know if the Cambridge Analytica story is one that the investigation might be pursuing?
Well, we don't know, although given the amount of reporting, I think, and given the mandate of the Mueller investigation to really investigate connections to Russia, but anything arising out of Russian interference in our elections, and, you know, if he follows the money, I think it's a smart bet to think that this kind of relationship between Cambridge Analytica, its employees, and the Trump campaign is fodder for further investigation and forensic accounting and whatever other tools that the Mueller campaign, that the Mueller office has to pursue. So I do think that we don't know. It hasn't yet been reported that Mueller is, quote, looking into this or not. And a lot of that reporting, again, he's run such a tight ship. There have not been many leaks that have come from Mueller himself. What happens is the Mueller team will interview witnesses, and those witnesses may then talk to the press, either on the record or on background. And that's how we've been getting, we think, a lot of the information about the Mueller investigation. But you know, I think it would be a smart bet to assume that Mueller is in fact looking into this and would have this certainly on his radar.
If Common Cause has deemed that election laws were probably violated, Mueller might be going down that same path as well.
I think that's right.
So finally, Stephen, how critical is investigative reporting to stories like this? Because we found time and again that investigative news and investigative reporting by intrepid journalists leads the way to lay the groundwork for government investigations, for complaints like that of your organizations. And it's such an important part of the story, but we sometimes take for granted that there are journalists out there digging this stuff up.
No question about it. Journalists, I think this has really been a golden age for journalism right now. I think that there's a lot of kids in school that are thinking, you know, what do they want to do with their lives? And they can see the sort of effect that journalism can have on our country. I mean, it's essential to our democracy that we have a press holding those in power accountable and informing citizens about what their government is doing, what others are doing, how decisions are being made, and following leads. And really been terrific to see the kind of investigative reporting, both at the national level and at the local level, happening at a time when many newsrooms, of course, are under enormous economic pressure. There have been a number of layoffs, unfortunately. There's been media consolidation. There's a lot of threats to the media as well, free, fair, and independent press. But it's so important that journalists be able to do their jobs, particularly also at a time when the president continues to berate journalists online and really try to sully their reputation and confuse the facts and use alternative facts. So I can't, you know, underscore enough how important it is that journalists are part of this conversation, are really leading the way in many respects and keeping us informed.
Give out a website, Stephen, where people can find out more about the story we've been discussing today and actually just read the complaints, because yes, it's quite interesting reading.
Yeah, you can go to commoncause.org. Commoncause.org. If you go there and if you want to learn more about Cambridge Analytica in particular, just go to our press releases and you'll see the press release from Monday when the complaint was filed. And you'll be able to see the press release, but also some of the documents themselves. And that's a good place to start. Also follow us on Twitter at Common Cause. And you can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Common Cause.
And actually, I should just squeeze in one last question. How likely is it, or how optimistic are you that the FEC and or the DOJ will take this complaint seriously? You know,
well, I'm more optimistic. I'm more optimistic about the Department of Justice. I do think that we are on solid grounds when it comes to the FEC. But having worked at the FEC, that is an agency that is prone to some gridlock due to ideological opposition to the campaign finance law, and there's a divide there. But I'm not giving up at all there either. I think that we have a very clear case. I think the nonpartisan attorneys will make a recommendation to move forward. It's just a question of whether the commissioners can agree and get four votes to do so. But at this point, both of them, I think, are well within, it's well within their power to move forward. I think we might be a little more likely at the Department of Justice.
And again, the website is commoncause.org, where you can read the complaints that the organization has filed over the Cambridge Analytica story. Stephen, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Stephen Spaulding is a Chief of Strategy and External Affairs for Common Cause. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.